Mark 2, 1 through 12 is a story that is in the sermon, so it's for you to be able to follow along in your Bible. I want to know how many people watched last night the opening of the Pinnacle of Prophecy series. I thought it was amazingly good and really opened your eyes. The good thing about being able to watch it in the comfort of your home was I probably was able to sleep through about 10 minutes of it. But it was so good that I stayed awake, and it was a good message. And I look forward and want to encourage everyone to follow along in that series because we're living in trying times. Now my sermon. The true title of the sermon is The Paralytic, Bring Them to Jesus. I just shortened it for the bulletin. There are many stories and examples of people bringing others to Jesus. And today we are going to talk about several of them. But my main story today is about the paralytic who was brought to Jesus. We ought to bring our children, our friends, our neighbors, and our family to Jesus. And if you think about it, we should also bring our enemies to Jesus too. I will start out with the story of the paralytic being brought to Jesus by his friends. And they took so much risk and effort to get him into the presence of Jesus. Was it worth it? Well, let's read the story that is found in Mark 2, verses 1 to 12. So open your Bibles to Mark 2 and follow along. Sometime later, Jesus returned to Capernaum, but it wasn't long before people found out where he was staying. Within a few hours, so many came to him that the house where he was staying was full. The rooms were jammed with people, and outside they crowded around the open windows to hear what Jesus was saying. Then four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher, hoping to see Jesus to ask him to heal their friend. But because of the crowd, they could not get near Jesus. Someone, he probably was a smart aleck, suggested they climb up on the flat roof and lift off some of the roofing materials and lower the man right in front of Jesus. And that is what they did. When Jesus saw what was happening, he admired their determination to have their friend healed. When the stretcher was lowered, Jesus looked at the man and said, "Son, don't worry about your sins. They are all forgiven." When some of the scribes and Pharisees heard him say that, each one said to himself, "Who does he think he is, claiming to forgive sins? No human can do that, only God." That is blasphemy. Immediately, Jesus looked in their eyes. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He turned to them and said, "Why are you questioning what I just did? Do you think that I have committed blasphemy and have given this man false hope? Let me ask you, which takes more power, to forgive sins or to heal a paralyzed body?" To help you understand that I have the power to forgive sins, I will show you that I have the power to forgive sins. I will show you that I have the power to heal. He then turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home." I was wondering, how does a paralyzed man that hasn't used his muscles start using them? It's a miracle. Instantly, the man's body responded. He stood to his feet, reached down, and folded his stretcher, made his way through the crowd, and walked home, praising the Lord. The people were dumbfounded and praised God, saying, "Never have we seen anything like that before." Doesn't that story make you want to bring someone to Jesus? It shows me the importance of coming to Jesus, healed from all our diseases, all our sins not only forgiven but buried in the depths of the sea, and new bodies that will last forever. I want Jesus right now. Amen? Now, sure, this man went from a paralyzed body and his sins forgiven to another mortal body. But if he can do that, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, in the earth made new, we will get new bodies that will live forever. Do what it takes to get to Jesus. Literally, drag your friends there, rip the roof apart, but just get them to Jesus. This is a wonderful story, and we could spend more time on it, but there are several stories in the Bible that I want to use to stress the importance of bringing people to Jesus. Not just for the wonderful benefits Jesus gives us here on earth, but our ultimate goal of eternal life with Jesus forever. Point number one. If you could name one set of people that you would love to bring to Jesus, who would that be? I know without thinking, our children. How many of you pray daily for your children? I know that I do. Do you know one special invitation by Jesus himself is to bring our children to him? Mark 10, 13, and 14 says, Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased, and he said to them, Let not the little children come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The one thing that you should know out of this is the Lord wants us to bring our children to Jesus. The Bible tells us to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. One of the big cares people have on their hearts is for the caring of our children, and we need to bring this care to the Lord. Point number two. What the Lord tells us to bring to him is our friends. This story in Mark 2 is a great illustration of friends bringing a friend to Jesus. To me, that is amazing. After all, he was paralyzed. What could he give to them as a friend? But these good friends literally carried him and tore up the house to get to Jesus. But like it or not, they got him there. Don't you wish that you had friends that dedicated that they just packed you up, carried you kicking and screaming to Jesus, whether that man wanted to go or not? These friends actually carried him a long ways, and they got there late. And because they were late, they couldn't get in the door or the window. What was Jesus doing in the house? He was preaching the word, and you should want to go to the house where Jesus' word is being preached. Do you know that it requires effort sometimes to get people into the house where Jesus' word is being preached? Are we going to convince them of the truth? Are we going to heal them? No, that is the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But put in the effort to get them there. Carry them, beg them, drag them, pull them, just get them to Jesus. Well, when they finally get there, they couldn't get in. They said, Well, we tried hard and got you here, but we can't get you in, so we will just take you back home. Is that what they said? No. They said, We are not giving up. It was not enough to be brought to the place where Jesus was at. He needed to be brought to the feet of Jesus where Jesus' word was being preached. If you want your friends to be forgiven, if you want your friends to be saved, it is not enough just to be around other Christians. But you need to get into the house and at the feet of Jesus. Did you notice that these friends of this paralyzed man were relentless? They did not give up, and they seemed to make it happen. When they tore up the roof and lowered this man at his feet, he, Jesus, thought, "How rude, they interrupted my sermon." No, he said, when he saw their faith, do not miss this point. Not only was the individual that was sick wanting to be in the presence of Jesus, but it was the faith of the friends that invested the effort to bring this man to Jesus. Jesus honored the friend's faith that brought him to Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Thy sins are forgiven." He healed him spiritually first, then he healed him physically. What is most important, spiritual healing or physical healing? By far, it is spiritual healing, eternal life, or temporarily feel good. Well, what made this all happen? Someone brought this man to Jesus. God chooses to give us the privilege to cooperate with heavenly agency for the salvation of a human being. That is a privilege to do that. Do you ever think that people might not be saved because we didn't pray for them? But there will be people that are not saved because we did not invest a tangible effort by urging, driving, encouraging, even hounding them to come to where Jesus is and listen to his word. And that is what happened in this story. They made a great effort to bring this friend to the place where Jesus was teaching the word. Make an effort by urging, driving, encouraging, even hounding them to come to where Jesus is and listen to his word. One of my dad's characteristics was to hound his boys to go to church. And that is what happened in this story. They made a great effort to bring this friend to a place where Jesus was teaching the word. Yes, I said teaching. We teach the word of God in Sabbath school. You bring them and let the word of God and the Holy Spirit keep them there. These friends did not heal their buddy. These friends did not forgive his sins. Their responsibility was to get their friend there. So we need to bring our friends to Jesus. Point number three, we need to bring our neighbors to Jesus. There is a difference between friends and neighbors. Neighbors are people that live near you, people in the community, or people that you work with. In the story of the woman at the well, after she realized that Jesus was the Messiah, she is talking to him, and he did something outrageous. He asked her, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water. Jews were not supposed to speak to a Samaritan woman especially. And here he talks to her and even asks her for a favor. And she was so surprised by this, she never really gave him a drink of water that we know of. She leaves the water pot so that he can get his own drink. He says, "Go call your husband." And she tries to evade this question and says, "I don't have a husband technically." He said, "Yes, you spoke the truth. You have had five husbands, and the one you are living with, you are not married to." She turned red in her face and said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." She tries to change the subject and says, "What mountain should we worship on?" It is interesting. Jesus said, "You have five husbands, and you are living with someone now." And now, finally, she finds fulfillment in somebody that loved her unconditionally, and that was Jesus. She said, "We know when the Messiah comes, he will tell us everything." And he said, "I who speak to you am he." He said something to the Samaritan woman that he had not even said to his own people. He directly said, "I am the Messiah." She dropped her water pot and ran full speed into town and told her neighbors, "Come and see a man who is the Messiah." You know what? She didn't argue theology. If you are inviting people to come and see Jesus, don't engage in theological arguments about whether the Samaritans are better than the Jews, or whether you are supposed to worship on Mount Zion or on Mount Gerizim. She did not engage them in that. The Bible tells us in John 4:29-30, she said, "Come, see a man that told me all things whatever I did. Could he be the Christ?" Inviting her neighbors to come see Jesus for themselves. You invite your neighbors to meetings, to church, to Sabbath school, to come and see. And you bring your neighbors to Jesus. Point number 4, bring our family to Jesus. This is different than bringing our children. You have other family besides children. I had aunts, uncles, cousins. You know the story where John the Baptist pointed out Jesus by the Jordan River and said, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Right after that event, the Bible says in John 1:40-42, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of two who heard what John the Baptist said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon Peter, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Sometimes you need to tell your family, and your family is sometimes the hardest group to reach. They are the most skeptical. They are the ones who come up with the most arguments. Sometimes it is real hard to deal with your own family. Andrew did not let that stop him. As a matter of fact, Andrew gets the gold medal in the Bible for being the one who brought the most people to Jesus. The Bible never says that Andrew preached a sermon. Andrew brought the little lad who had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Andrew found the Greeks who wanted to see Jesus. Andrew is not preaching, he is bringing people to Jesus. You don't have to preach, you don't have to teach, but you can fulfill the Great Commission by bringing people to Jesus. Bringing your friend, bringing your neighbors, bringing your loved ones, and bringing your family to the Lord can bring souls to God's kingdom. Point number 5. You may not like this point, but we need to bring our enemies to Jesus. Yes, you may ask why. Matthew 5:44, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you." This is repeated in Luke 6:27-28. Jesus again says, "But I say unto you, hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you." Jesus practiced this when he was dying on the cross and said, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus died for all our friends and all our enemies too. I know it is hard, and without what Jesus did for us, it would be impossible to do. Invite them to Sabbath school, invite them to church, invite them to an evangelistic meeting. Give them the word of God. There is a story in 2 Kings 21:16, and it says, "Manasseh shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end, besides the evil that he caused Judah to commit." So they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Isaiah the prophet was cut in two by Manasseh, and after Manasseh confessed all his sins, God forgave him, and both Manasseh and Isaiah will be in heaven, only through the grace of God. We may see our own enemies in heaven. Our house may be next to their house. And surely after 100 billion years, you will run into them. That is our commission. Invite your children, your friends, your neighbors, and even your enemies to sit at the feet of Jesus and be converted by God's love for them. Point number 6. We need to bring our questions to Jesus. A lot of people are kept away from the Lord because there are things about Christianity and the Bible that they just don't understand. The Lord is not offended by your doubts. God is not afraid of your questions. He welcomes your questions. And Jesus never chastised anybody for asking a legitimate question. Even people that asked him questions for the purpose of entrapping him, he answered their questions. The Bible says Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he had all kinds of questions about Jesus being the Messiah. He did not understand, and Jesus said to him, "Except you are born again." Yes, he had questions. Is the Lord offended by our questions? No. Do you have doubts? The Lord already knows you have doubts. Bring them to Jesus. Say, "Lord, I don't understand." There is a promise in the Bible that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If you are searching for the truth, you will find it in God's word. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord." Where is one of the best places to study the word of God and to reason together with the Lord? Sabbath school. Now that's a novel idea. When you come to Sabbath school and participate, it may not help you one bit, but you may have an answer or an encouragement for someone else, and that may make it all worthwhile. Do you have doubts? Are you perplexed? Do you have questions? Bring them to the Lord. There may be something we never understand until we talk face to face in the earth made new. Point number 7. Bring your bodies to Jesus. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Some of us have sick bodies, and we need to bring our bodies to Jesus for him to heal. I believe that the Lord heals miraculously. Did the paralytic get healed at home? Or did he get healed when he came to the house where Jesus was at and presented himself by faith to Jesus? We are to bring our bodies to Jesus, even if we are not sick, because we are all dying of sin. Did God just heal the paralytic, or did he both heal him and forgive him of his sins? We are to bring our bodies to Jesus, even if we are not sick. We are to bring our bodies to Jesus as a living sacrifice and make sure we don't get sick. 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17 says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which you are." You may think, "This is my body. I can do what I want with it." And we forget that every breath that you take is a gift of God. Every beat your heart pounds is a gift from God. We often, like the prodigal son, squander what we have through prodigal lifestyles. Your bodies are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You are to bring your bodies to Jesus. When you are sick, but you don't get physical healing, you are blessed by giving your body to Jesus. In conclusion, I want to tell you about my experience with cancer. I was in shock when I was given the diagnosis of colon cancer. The first thing I wanted to do was to bring my problem to Jesus. Yes, it put a chill down my spine because I knew the gravity of this diagnosis. I prayed, God, come into my life. I want to turn this problem over to you. I confessed all my sins and asked him for complete healing. And then I wanted the Holy Spirit to guide my life in all that I do. But most of all, I want Jesus as my Savior, because a cure on this earth is nothing without my ultimate goal of having eternal life with God and Jesus as my Savior. Then I said, whatever time God gives me left on this earth, I want to spend it leading my children and grandchildren to Jesus, then bringing my friends to Jesus, then bringing my other family to Jesus, then bringing my neighbors to Jesus, and finally bringing my enemies to Jesus. Actually, I don't want any enemies. The Holy Spirit led me to trust in God's assistance in healing the doctors. What they recommended, I prayed about, and then I trusted them and obeyed their treatment plan. I can truly testify that this is a walking through the valley of the shadow of death experience. After all this, I thanked and praised God for healing, and I choose to trust in His guidance forever. I do not recommend anyone to have this experience, but if and when you do, come to Jesus. Bring as many as you can to Jesus, because cancer or no cancer, paralyzed or not paralyzed, you are safest at the feet of Jesus, listening to His word. After a message like this, I look forward to our evangelistic meeting, Pinnacle of Prophecy, not just for myself, but to bring others to Jesus. Keep inviting, keep encouraging, and if it takes it, carry them to Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for the story about the paralytic and the friends that brought him to you. Thank you for the other stories in the Bible about bringing our children, bringing our friends, bringing others to Jesus. And we want to dedicate our lives today into bringing others to Jesus. In thy holy name, amen.